back when we launched in September, I remember staying up till like almost midnight to get $1,000 within a day. And I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna see $1,000. And now it's like, if we don't get $1,000 within like, whatever, the first hour.
You're listening to the Next Generation Podcast, weekly interviews with the most interesting and successful 20-somethings out there.
Hey everyone, I'm Andrew Case. I'm the CEO of Noom Group, and you're listening to the Next Generation Podcast.
Andrew, I'm excited to have you on the show, man. How are you doing today?
Doing well, doing well. Yeah, we had a launch for Honey last week, so dealing with the launch hangover, but now focused on the next sprint. So everything is really good.
When you say launch hangover, I feel like with certain companies that means different things. With e-commerce, it's like really, I feel like a lot of the groundwork goes in pre-launch, and then the launch itself happens, and like the dopamine spikes as the sales spike. And now, is it like when you say hangover, is that like, oh shit, like now we have to go and fulfill all of these orders, or is it the hangover just like, I'm so over the marketing stuff, I just want to go to bed for the next couple of days?
No, it's more of like last week it was photo shoot on Tuesday, filming on Wednesday, getting everything done on the landing page and email campaigns on Thursday, and then launching on Friday morning. So it was just a lot of back to back to back stuff. And Friday was like best day ever. It was one of those days where you just like keep on refreshing Shopify. You're like, oh my God, there's so many people on the website. There's so many orders coming in. And now Monday, or no, we're on Tuesday. Tuesday, it's like back to normal in terms of sales. So like we did our last sale Sunday and Monday. And now it's like, all right, need to focus on what's next, because you have such a buildup of like, all right, I'm launching this product. I mean, for us, it took 6 months to launch this. It always seems like it's going to be faster. It's not like the order fulfillment because we have a 3PL, but like it's like, all right, cool. Now I need to focus on what's next.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Privy. They are the number one most reviewed app on the Shopify App Store and a necessity if you want to grow your e-commerce business. Now, before I started using Privy on all of my Shopify stores, I was seeing maybe a 1% conversion rate because I was spending so much time and money driving traffic to my store and not capturing any customer information. And after Privy, that all changed. Now my store converts at 3% plus, sometimes in the holidays, even as high as 5 or 6%. And it's because Privy helps me capture customer emails on my site and then allows me to go and actually use email flows to remind them to finish their purchase. So now I'm not just burning money on Facebook and Google ads. If you run an e-commerce store today, you literally cannot afford to not be using Privy. Head on over to privy.com/nextgeneration for your free trial today. Yeah, I think that's the kind of like what we're talking about before we even press record here. Gio and Andrew schooled me on a new term called hedonic regression, where it's like, basically, what we were saying is like Shopify is kind of the best and the worst at the same time, because even if you do a crazy sales day, but it doesn't beat your like highest sales day yet, it doesn't beat those Black Friday, Cyber Monday numbers, you're like, oh, this is nice, but like it's fine. But like those like reinventing the new peaks are always such like a head high kind of feeling of like, we're the best, like to the moon, like there's no going back now. But I do think like it's very important, like whether it's e-commerce or like real estate especially too, like the stuff that Gio and I are doing, like you really get like, I guess it depends on how much money you have, but like you get a couple of deals a year, right? And so like making a very concerted effort of like when you get a deal, when everything is signed, sealed, delivered, and like you're only getting a couple of deals a year. And so as a result of that, like if you're not celebrating, like once everything's signed, sealed, delivered, and like the deal's actually closed, like it goes by pretty quickly. And you kind of just realize like all we're doing is just cold calling owners and underwriting properties and dealing with tenants to like get credit card payments, basically. And like that's not fun. So I definitely feel like it's pretty important, like whatever business you're in, to like celebrate those wins, because like very not often enough are they coming around. And like it's kind of why everyone's working on what they're working on.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, back when we launched in September, I remember staying up till like almost midnight to get $1,000 within a day. And I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna see $1,000. And now it's like, if we don't get $1,000 within like, whatever, the first hour of being the next day, it's like, what's going on? It is really weird how you adjust to it so quickly. And I think that e-commerce is very heighten in that perspective. Because like when you're an employee at a company, you might get similar to what you're mentioning, you might get a pay raise every 6 months or every 12 months, whatever it might be. And you adjust that, you know, quickly within that. But like in e-commerce, it's like you can go from $100,000 in sales 1 month to $200,000 to $300,000, and you really adjust to those numbers really quickly. So it also just shows you how like you can't really base whatever you do off of how much money you make, because you're just going to adjust to it so quickly that you need to have some other type of driver in your business versus just like only making money, because you're going to burn out really quick.
So what's that for you?
I mean, for me, it's, you know, every single day we get testimonials about how we're having an impact in someone's life. Like I, right before I hopped on, like back to back Okendo reviews of, you know, how people would drink 4 cups of coffee per day, and now they're not drinking any cups of coffee, and they can see like a noticeable improvement in their sleep and their energy and not crashing as hard. So like, that is the biggest thing, as well as just putting out a product that you're really proud of. You know, like when you do a good photo shoot, when you like put something out there, it really is something that's really special, and that's what drives me. And also with the launch hangover, one thing that's always really interesting when you put yourself out there, when you like ask for support, when you like have a creative pursuit, there's going to be people that support you, and there's going to be people that you think are going to support you that don't support you or that don't say anything. And I think that that's also like part of the hangover. You're just like, oh man, like some of these connections that I thought I had, or like relationships that I thought I had that I thought were really strong, weren't actually as strong as they were. And that always leaves you in like a little bit of a funk. But I think it just comes with the territory.
Yeah. And I feel like that's one of those things too, where like the longer you do it, like the cream, like the good friends always kind of like rise to the top in the end. And so like, yeah, I totally agree with that as well. I'm realizing that we probably did like a poor job, like also introducing like what Noon Brew is. Cause I think people listening to this right now might think that you're just selling honey full time. And like, certainly you're selling honey now, you're in the honey business now. You know, Andrew Case, a bee's best friend. But like, or maybe worst enemy, I don't know which way to go there. But like, can you tell us a little bit more about like how you got into this tea space and like why you started Noon Brew in the first place?
Yeah, for sure. So, we got our start about a year ago, a year and change, my co-founder Alan and I. And basically the idea of Noon Brew came about because during COVID, and obviously we're still in COVID in the pandemic, but like during the lockdowns, the height of lockdowns in New York City, I was drinking tons of coffee, and by the afternoon I would just crash, and like I would drink more coffee and I would just crash harder. So I wanted an alternative to coffee. I didn't want to drink matcha. I didn't want to drink some of these coffee alternatives that like, you know, say that they do X, but they actually don't do anything. So I got in touch with my friend, now my co-founder, Alan. Alan has a background in herbal medicine. He grew up in basically like a herbal apothecary in San Francisco. So he knew a lot about traditional Chinese medicine, about adaptogens, functional mushrooms. And he started blending all these different types of superfoods and ingredients and like all of his favorite ones from growing up. And we created this really awesome formula. And we started asking people, you know, even asking yourself, like asking you, my mom, my friends, my cousins. I was like, do you guys get the afternoon slump? And everyone's like, yeah, I get the afternoon slump. And like no one really had a solution for it besides like drinking more water or drinking coffee or going to sleep. So we're like, all right, cool, we have something here. And we came up with the name Noon Brew, launched in September, had like a really nice launch. No like PR play, or like we didn't get into Bon Appetit magazine. It was like, all right, let's like launch to a few different types of groups, like Trends, By the Hustle. We launched on LinkedIn, we launched on email, and we launched to friends and family. And then it was just like, all right, we're gonna go hard on Facebook ads. Went really hard on Facebook ads and grew a really, really big audience and big customer base. And that kind of brings us to today. And just last week, we launched Superfood Organic Honey. So we have organic honey with 4 different superfoods. It tastes amazing. And like, it helps you with like brain fog, focus, clarity, all of that. And just had a really, really nice launch to our existing customer base.
I will say, to personally vouch, we met up, was it last Thursday or no? maybe
two Thursdays ago.
Okay, I was gonna say if it was last Thursday, time's going by pretty slowly. yeah, I think and I had like a scoop in it. Actually, like I'm a huge sucker for like the nootropics and like all of like the superfoods and stuff like that, but like actually did notice a cognitive difference. Either like I was wired or I was just on one that day and felt like really good leaving that like coffee meetup. So we'll fully attest and like leave a review that like the product is awesome. Even like bought some of the like actual powder itself, the tea itself, and like my mom still texted me being like, this stuff works. And I was like, I'm gonna let them know, like, leave a review. So that's awesome. I think one thing I would love to kind of understand too is like, so when starting Noon Brew and like basically launching the brand, I feel like I was thinking about this as I was kind of like preparing for this podcast today. Did we meet like a year ago, basically? I want to say it was like last May, or maybe it was like last June or something like that.
Yeah, we met last like May or June. And we met at an e-com meetup.
Right.
Our buddies hosted.
Right. And because like I think like the reason I bring this up is because I basically met you when you had the idea, it was in the works, but it wasn't launched yet. And right. I don't know if you know this about like yourself, but I feel like you give off the impression or like the vibe of somebody who's like very confident about what they're working on. Like we got coffee two Thursdays ago and like you were telling me this whole vision. I was like, and I was sold too. I was like, yes, I can see you doing this. But even before you had like launched the product, got a single sale or a single customer, like I felt like you were like very confident in terms of like what you were working on and like what the vision was for the company, that like you're definitely going to be solving a big problem there. Like I don't even know like the best question to ask you, but like is there anything that you can attribute that to, or like a way to go and kind of like how you think about like the outcome of success or something?
Well, I think that like I think from one perspective, I was around a lot of e-com people like yourself, like our buddies Francis and Brian, and a lot of the agency founders within here. And they were a few steps ahead within their journey. And like getting around those people, you just get confidence from them, because you're like, hey, like these guys are doing exactly what I want to be doing, but like they're just maybe like a few years ahead of me. But I know I can like be at that level. So I think that like that really helps, where getting around those different types of people, you're just like, all right, cool. Like I'm going to be there. It's just like, it takes time to get there. And then, you know, I saw the success of what other companies were doing. And I think the biggest thing that I try and do is I try and emulate what other companies do successfully. I think just knowing how well some of these companies were doing and knowing their numbers, I was like, man, if I only get like even a fraction of what they're doing, then like this is going to be a big company. And it's such a huge market. It's a problem that everybody has. I feel like we're really attacking that problem head on versus other companies that are like, oh yeah, you can drink this in the morning, you can drink it in the afternoon, you can like use this whenever. It's like, no, like this is for the afternoon slump. We're going head on for that. And yeah, I mean, just like as you were mentioning two Thursdays ago, like we're just getting started. Like this is going to be a really big company.
Yeah. I feel like the peer group element is so big to me. I know personally, like, all right. The best way to describe like how I try to go and structure like all of my own goals, or like if I feel really optimistic about something, is based on surrounding, like who I'm surrounding myself with. And so I remember just from starting this podcast, like 18 months ago, I very much so had the mentality of like, I am seeing all of these people in their 30s and 40s and 50s, like crushing it. But I see very few people my own age having a lot of success. And from my standpoint, I'm like, okay, like I know they're out there. Like, you know, Mark Zuckerberg started Facebook when he's like 23. I'm not trying to start Facebook, but like, I know that people can be successful when they're young. I'm just not seeing, like, I'm not seeing that it's totally possible. And I do think that like constantly being around people who are like similar to you, who are like, maybe like, I don't know, like not, aren't even like that much more intelligent or like hardworking, but like are just doing the thing and having a lot of success with it, definitely breeds a next level of confidence of like, okay, if they can do it, why can't I do it kind of thing?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And then Gio was talking a little bit before about Alex Hormozi. And I remember I was watching one of his videos and he was talking about doing like a friend audit. So, you know, that correlates with the launch, where a lot of friends you go through life and like you have friends where all you do is talk about the past. And then you have friends that like you talk about like ideas, you talk about the future, you talk about what you're building, they're supporting you, everything of that sort. But he was saying that how he cuts out those people that are only about the past, and because he doesn't live in the past. And I think that that's also something where it's like you really have to control who you're hanging around, because they can either bring you up or like they can really bring you down. And I think that like just having a support group here in New York has really helped kind of turbocharge a lot of stuff.
You made a comment earlier that's probably going to be a pretty good transition to the next question I had for you here, which is like knowing other people's numbers, knowing like other companies' tactics and like what they're doing from a marketing standpoint can also kind of help breed that confidence. Basically, I just hired like a marketing intern for the summer, and so I'm in the process of like training him, getting him up and running and like figuring out all of that stuff. And the number one tip that I've basically given him in terms of like how to go and think about like getting good at this craft early on is steal everything. And so what I say is like, hey, here are like 30 brands that I personally look up to and aspire to. Like what I would love to do is like, if you're going to be on ad creative pretty much for most of the summer, like I want you to go in and I want you to recreate their ad copy, their ad format, their ad copy, like build it in like Illustrator or Canva or like wherever you're making all of your ads at, but like copy it verbatim, don't change anything. And so like the first week he was like very confused, and he was like, okay, like don't really understand why I'm doing this or whatever. Second week I was like, okay, cool. Like now knowing what you did for them, go make this some ad creative, and like kind of like iterating, giving them feedback. But I was like, steal the formats. Like don't reinvent the wheel. Like do what they're already doing, especially because like if they're running those ads, they might not be working crazy, but I bet one of them probably is. Are there basically, I guess the question I've got for you here, because I think you're very good at like the sales and marketing standpoint. Are there things that you would recommend they study or focus on in order to get better at e-commerce sales and marketing faster?
So if I was managing your intern, pretty much. Your marketing intern,
yep.
So there's a lot of things. I think that, you know, that what I mentioned to you the other day, like SimilarWeb, definitely have them install SimilarWeb. For Facebook ad creatives, go to the Facebook ad library, scroll down to the very bottom to see like the longest standing ad that a company is running, because that's going to be one of their most profitable ads because they didn't turn it off just yet. So you can also do that on TikTok Business Creative Center, where you can look at what other people are running. You can save that to Addison. It's like addison.io, and they'll never get deleted from there. So that's really good to see. So I would definitely like copy the ads of other companies. I would buy all the competitors' products. And then like what we do is like, you know, we can tell like what competitors are paying for shipping costs within it. So like, you know, if someone is paying a lot in shipping costs, like not to call them up, like Commentera, for instance, Commentera ships dry ice within it. And like, that's very expensive to ship. Like they're probably paying like $40 to $50 to ship just that. Like, so they have to be really funded to do that, because like, they're definitely not making any money off their coffee within that. So like, you know, we like to break down our competitors and be like, all right, like, can we see what 3PL they're using by looking at like their shipping labels? Can we look at like how much their shipping costs are? Like we'll buy a product and be like, whoa, this is over 2 pounds. Like they're probably paying a lot of money in shipping. And like if their costs are $40 and they're paying, let's say like $13, $15 in shipping costs, like they're not making money on their first order. So like they have to be subscription based, or they're just not really making that much money. So like we try and do all of that. Like we sign up for our competitors' newsletters, and then we look at like how they're interacting on SMS and email. We look at their post-purchase journeys. Are they upselling? Are they not upselling? Like, are they upselling post-purchase, like point of sale, or are they waiting for that? Like with their win-back campaigns, if we cancel a subscription, how are they trying to get us back? And then we just take all of that. Like for me, I put it within a Figma doc, and I just have all of our competitors kind of like within a swipe file. That's and I can just, nice. Yeah, I can just tell. It's like, all right, cool. Like this is really interesting. This is not that interesting. Like, oh, they're driving all their Facebook traffic to a like subscription funnel instead of their homepage. Like that's really interesting. They're probably just like driving a ton of subscription that way. Like, let me do that.
That's smart. Yeah. I think honestly, when it comes down to like getting good at marketing, just steal, right? That's like Everyone's like, like, you know, acting like
everything in e-commerce is stealing. Like,
and for what it's worth, like, don't plagiarize. Like, don't do the exact same thing, because there are certainly people that will go and do that. But like, you can get away with a lot. Like no, even the things you're stealing were stolen. Just like worth noting.
Totally, nothing is original. Like, there's this really good Nas quote that he says, "There's nothing new under the sun. It's never what you do, but it's how it's done." And that's totally true. Like, everything that you're seeing online, like, if anybody says that it's original and that they like created it, like, it's total BS.
Professor Nas, I love it. The other thing that I feel like probably that you did not mention that I know was a big impact in your business too, and I think a lot of people can kind of think about this, because this is something that can differentiate you from a lazy marketer to a good marketer, is how you go and think about offers. Especially when it comes to like driving cold traffic into paying customers, which is like basically the name of the game in e-commerce. Like, you build up a community long enough and you like seed influencers and stuff like that. Like, anyone can go and sell 100 products, 500 products, whatever. Like, the name of the game of e-commerce, if you want to build a big company, is like, can you acquire customers profitably on first purchase off of paid media? Because that's going to tell you whether or not you can scale. And I think one of the biggest learnings that I know you've had and I've had and some other people over the past couple of years is like, how do you go and structure an offer with your campaign? Do you want to talk a little bit about that and how it works for y'all?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that we drive most of our revenue from subscription orders, and we drive all of our traffic to a subscription funnel. But, you know, one of the things that really helped us was, and I saw it with other competitors from like Athletic Greens or Mudwater, is that, you know, like a gift with purchase. So Mudwater does a free frother and Athletic Greens does a vitamin D3 packet or something of that sort. But like, we do a free 10 serving travel pack. And that's been really helpful for us because, you know, people love the travel pack. They love the 10 serving travel pack that they can take to work, that, you know, they can take on vacation. You can't buy it on the website. So like, the only way that they can do it is through our subscription offer. And like, that has been super, super, super instrumental in our success. And I think that like, just structuring offers in general, you know, you have the, what you mentioned, like the profitability component, which like is really, really important. And like, not only profitability, it's like one part of that is like shipping. So my co-founder, Alan, like, he's very, very smart with everything operations, logistics, and supply chain. And like, we were doing a free frother and 30 serving pack, but that like kicked us over a pound in shipping costs. And then like, we got the 10 serving travel pack instead of the frother. And that kicked us underneath the pounds. Like, when you go over a pound, you're paying a ton more within shipping. So like, just also knowing your numbers in that way, I think is really important. And yeah, we're still running that today. And it's just like it's something that like our customers love. And I think that that's like the component that you have to work back from. It's like, yeah, you can have an offer, but like, is this offer good for you? Or is this offer good for your customers? And like, the offer is like good for our customers. And like, they love that 10 serving travel pack. So like, it's a win-win.
I also think the thing that people hear a lot, like, all right, so when I was talking before about lazy marketers versus good marketers, what I meant is like, open up Instagram right now, scroll down like minimum 12 posts. And I guarantee you, because, well, shit, actually, I don't know when this recording is going to go out, but I was going to say, knowing that this is the week before Memorial Day weekend right now, I guarantee you, you will see a Memorial Day weekend sale with a promo code in one of these ads, right? And so, you know, 25% off site-wide Memorial Day sale, like, grab your new pair of athletic shorts and we're different from the other 5,000 athletic short brands. Like, that's a lazy marketing move, in my opinion. I think there's a time and place for doing discount offers, but like, doing gift with purchase, doing like, you know, buy this, get this, like, there's a lot of different ways to go and bundle this kind of stuff that I think that nowadays, if you're a little bit more creative with it, it goes a long way. And I also think like, there's a lot of opportunities to go and create an offer that has a super high perceived value, but a very low cost to you. Three examples that come to mind that like, I know have personally worked on me is the offer, like, essentially saying a guarantee, buy it today and we guarantee it'll be in your hands in 5 days. that's a really powerful offer when you're buying something off of Amazon. Half of the time I buy something on Amazon, it's because I know reliably it'll be there in 2 to 3 days. If I can make an offer and guarantee to someone that, like, from the time they press checkout, it'll be at their front porch in 5 days, like, even if it arrives in 6 days. And I'm not saying to, like, be unethical, but, like, if you know that you can reliably get 90% plus of orders in 5 days, like, run that as an offer. Like make that, like, your promise. Say, like, you know, hey, like, we're overstaffed, so, like, we're shipping stuff out like crazy, you know. I think that's a good one. I also just bought a knee brace for jiu-jitsu, and one of the offers that they had there was a 7-step like PDF slash also course of, like, how to go and, like, recover properly from jiu-jitsu and also, like, avoid injuries. So that was, like, an easy one. And then the last one would be, like, hey, when you go and buy this, you'll get access. Like, if you're selling, like, a more niche product, like, I think for you, like, I know a lot of your customers tend to be, like, moms and, like, that demographic, like, maybe some kind of, like, mom Facebook group or something, like, get access to something like that. All of those things I just described either have a one-time cost, so, like, if you're developing this PDF or, like, course or whatever, or essentially have a $0 cost, but could be perceived as high value items and, like, high value offers for people who are, like, buying your product for the first time.
Totally. No, I think that, like, the content stuff is something that I think about a lot. And just, like, having that content of, like, a PDF that you can attach to it. Like, yeah, you're right. You can just hire someone off of Upwork to create that for you, one-time costs. And then you put that within, I mean, you're going to make that money back within a day. So yeah, that those types of ROI activities are, like, I just have, like, a list of them, and it gets overwhelming because you're like, oh man, like, I have so much work to do. But, like, yeah, like, that is, like, a great piece of advice.
Yeah. Even, like, I mean, not to, like, I don't know if you guys would really consider these guys competitors, but, like, another, like, nootropic drink I know is Magic Mind. And, like, they have a whole book on, like, Beyond Coffee. It's called A Sustainable Guide to Nootropics, Adaptogens, and Mushrooms. Like, something like that. I don't know how good of a hook that is. I think it's probably a better lead gen source for them. But, like, if you guys can do something similar on, like, you know, hey, here are, like, the 9 ways to go and, like, get more energy throughout the day, it might just push somebody over that extra hump.
I mean, James Bouchard, Magic Mind is, like, a very, very, very smart guy. And I think that, like, what that book does more than anything, like, I think that, like, legitimizes, like, what his product does. Totally. And, yeah, like, they have a great formula. Like, that's, like, the thing too, is, like, you have to have a really good formula. Like, you can have all the different marketing tactics, everything of that sort, but if you don't have a good product, like, people are going to churn. People are not going to like your product. They're going to leave bad reviews. So, like, the basis of everything, you know, marketing tactics or not, like, you have to have a really good product as well. Magic Mind, you know, Magic Mind, Mudwater, Athletic Greens, they all have great formulas, and that's why they're very successful companies.
For what it's worth, I think Magic Mind totally works. I think it tastes terrible, but I also don't like the taste of really? Matcha. Well, I think it just tastes like matcha, and when I tried it before, I just feel like I'm, like, just drinking grass. But that's besides the point. I have bought it, and I bought it twice, actually, just to, like, show that it works, but yeah, it doesn't taste amazing. the thing that you just kind of brought up though on, like, the content side of things, of saying, like, you're big into the content, you believe that could be, like, a big, like, differentiator. One of the things that y'all do well, I think, compared to most e-commerce brands, is that most e-commerce brands will send, well, actually, realistically, most e-commerce brands will probably send, like, 3 to 4 emails a month. The good e-commerce brands will send, like, 8 to 10 emails a month. And I think, or if not even more. And I think one thing that you guys do that most don't do is that you guys send emails that are not sales related. Every e-commerce brand that I go and am subscribed to, it's, look at this new product, look at this new sale, look at these happy customers, and, like, bye, bye, bye. You guys send this one email out, I think it's called the Recharge, every Sunday. And it's just, like, kind of cool shit. It's like, hey, check out this dope Spotify playlist. Hey, these are, like, cool Airbnbs. Hey, here's a cool, like, little tip this week. I'm curious, have you seen, like, ROI on that, or is that more of a brand play, or like what are your thoughts on that? Because that's something I want to maybe kind of, like, think about doing as well.
Yeah, I think that, like, one, it's a good way to build brand, to give an update. Like, every single week we give an update of, like, what's going on in the company. So I think that, like, and we've had reviews that people are like, I really like the Noon Recharge that comes in every single week. And, like, I look forward to that. We have a good open rate on it as well. Like, you know, tens of thousands of people read it every single every single week. So I think that it's a way to stay connected to the brand. I think it's a way to stay relevant. Like, we were talking about the Honey launch for the past month and a half. And when the Honey actually did launch, it was like, oh, wow. Like, all right, I have to get this. We talked about, like, we had this thing with the Honey launch where we had jars delivered to our Honey co-packer. And the co-packer opened it up, and instead of it being all of our jars, it was a photo generator. We're just like, what is going on? And we talked about that within the Noon Recharge. That's just like the struggle of having an e-commerce business where, like, the freight forwarder just, like, had the wrong thing off of the boat. So, like, yeah, we talk about all these different types of things. And I think that, yeah, people have, like, a much bigger affinity towards the brand. And, like, it definitely inspires brand loyalty. We get, you know, sales off of it each week, like, that, like, we put different offers and we test different stuff within there. But yeah, I think that more so it's just brand building.
Cool. Yeah, that I like that idea, that concept a lot, because I think with a lot of these brands, it's so transactional these days, and, like, it works, and you know it. You run a sales email, like, the fact that you guys are able to sell, like, 1,000+ jars, right? Like, that's awesome. Like, it's because you built up this brand, and then you send a sales email. I think Gary Vaynerchuk has a whole book on, like, I think it's called, like, Jab Jab Hook or something like that. It's basically like you give all this value, and then now when you finally have an ask, it's like, all right, cool, I'm willing to go and help you guys out. So I think that's probably the smart play as well, especially, like, I think there's a big advantage that you can have in e-commerce today that not many people pay attention to, is that most people are very short-minded, in the sense that, like, if you want to go and drive sales today, send another sales email, send another, like, new product launch email, whatever it is. If you want to go and drive sales over the next 10 years, be more focused on that brand, and don't, like, just totally annoy all of your customers. And I know on a podcast, that sounds incredibly obvious, but, like, when you're the actual operator of the business, it's like, no, we should be sending more sales emails, because, like, we drove $7,000 off that last email, or $13,000 off that last email. And so, like, I think it's tough to see that when you're in the weeds, but it's something I think can, like, make a big difference over the long run if you're, like, more long-term oriented.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think that, you know, we haven't raised any funding. So we don't have the pressure of investors to be like, hey, like, what's going on? Like, you guys need to grow revenue every single month. So we don't have that pressure. And I got connected a few months ago to the former CEO of Athletic Greens. And we had a really nice chat. And he was talking about that, where it's just like, it's not a winner takes all type of market. Like, you can operate in the same space as Athletic Greens, the same space as, like, all of these different brands. Everyone can do very well off of it. So he's like, don't think that you need to, like, grow as fast as possible, that you need to, it's not like a tech play. Like, in a tech play, like Uber, for instance, like, Uber is going to be, like, you know, the de facto, or, like, you know, they want to compete with Lyft, and they want to be the only player standing. Like, we don't have it like that. So I think that, like, building a brand over time, taking time to not torture Lyft by, like, doing a sales campaign every single week is something that, like, you have to very much have, like, a concerted effort to do. But, like, I think, and like you mentioned, in the long run, it's definitely worth it.
And I think as well, on that note, like, the fact is, most of the world, and let's actually, like, make it smaller, most of the US has never heard the word adaptogen. Never heard the word superfood, never heard the word nootropic, right? And so it's one of those things where it's like, realistically, Magic Mind's marketing dollars could be working for y'all. Like, Athletic Greens marketing dollars could be working for y'all, because, like, the fact is like, they're educating people, and that takes a lot of time and a lot of money. And now somebody's like, oh, these things seem cool, like, I've been hearing about this. And your ad swoops in with, like, not only do we have it, but, like, your 12 to 4 p.m. is going to feel better because of it. Now, like, you guys can go benefit from that. So it's one of those, like the pie grows as everyone grows.
Yeah, I was before I started Noon Brew, before Alan and I launched it, like, you know, both Alan and I were at a dinner party, and one of the guests had a really successful nootropics business, and he's like, you know, there's 150,000 people here in Williamsburg. We're in Williamsburg, New York. He's like, there's 150,000 people here in Williamsburg, New York. If you even had a tenth of the people just in Williamsburg subscribing to your product, you have a 8-figure business. And I think that that puts it into that perspective where it's like, you don't need to have a huge amount of people that, you know, like Kevin Kelly's 1,000 true fans. Like, you don't need to have a huge amount of people that subscribe every single month, or that, you know, in your Klaviyo or whatever. It's like, if you just have a small portion and you treat them really, really well, they're going to come back, they're going to tell their friends, their family, and you're going to have a really good business. And I think that, like, that's kind of the mindset that we're trying to take at Noon Brew.
Yeah, I think that's smart. Also, being in like a spot like New York City, it's like, you can kind of think about this stuff more. Like, Gio and I just bought a storage facility down in Arkansas. I promise you, no one in Arkansas has ever had superfood anything. It's like, they probably have like supersized food. And sorry to anyone who's listening to this from Arkansas, but like there's just a huge market. Like, it's going to be growing, right? Like, I'm sure people in Arkansas for the first time are beginning to hear about the word organic. And so, like, just to put it into perspective.
Yeah, no, it's a huge market. And I think that that's what makes it fun to play with. Just because, like, you can play in all these different types of superfoods, adaptogens, like all these different benefits. And like, you know, that like the market's just going to develop over time, and like everybody can do well within it.
Totally. There's a couple other ways we can take this conversation from here. I mean, I think I'll just give out three topics, and I actually just want you to go and kind of think, let me know which one you think would be the most fun conversation to have. Like, I think one that is always a cool conversation, and you just went through it, so you might have some good insights to share, is like, how do you think about launching a product, and how should people in e-commerce be thinking about launching products? Second one would be like, general mistakes made in the last year of running Noon Brew. Like, are there any things that, like, looking back now, you're like, oh, I thought that was really important and it wasn't? And the last one that I think is becoming a little bit more common in the D2C space is subscription versus non-subscription brands, because I think that there's like a very heavy emphasis on subscription. I think you guys have crushed it there, but like, now everyone's kind of like zigging in this way of like, it has like, you have to have a subscription brand. Like, I would argue you don't. Any of those three stand out that you're like, that would be kind of fun to riff on for a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, we can go through all three. So I think that first off, with launching a new product, you know, honey, for instance. So we have tea with Noon Brew, and during the wintertime, both Alan and I were drinking Noon Brew with honey. And it was like local honey that you get at your grocery store. And like, local honey is good for your allergies, but besides that, there's not really like a ton. I mean, there's benefits obviously of honey, but like, you can get benefits from honey by putting superfoods within there as well. So we're just like, why don't we put superfoods into this honey and like call it our own? Like, we're already buying honey to put into hot Noon Brew. Like, let's just do this ourselves. So like, that sparked the idea. And I think that, like, you know, with both Noon Brew and our honey, it always came from both the personal problems that Alan and I had experienced. Like, Alan would drink like 4 espressos per day. He'd like drink like a quad in the morning, and by the afternoon he'd crash. And like, he experienced the afternoon slump, I experienced the afternoon slump. And these are like personal problems that we can speak about. So it shows also within your marketing. It's not like an affiliate play where we're just like going after money-making opportunities. So, you know, launching that, like, we had to source the honey. We found this really good supplier that had organic honey from Brazil, and we like sampled a bunch of different types of honeys. And, you know, we had this tropical blossom flavor that stood out and it tastes amazing. And then, you know, similar to what we were talking about before, like, we bought all of our competitors' products and saw like how they were marketing it, like who they were marketing it to, tried all of it, and saw what we were up against. And then with the superfoods, we blended superfoods into our honey to make it a superfood honey. And we just got the superfoods from our current supplier, and they're amazing. So they had all of that. And then we had to do the jars, the packaging, make sure that like we had a blender. So we had to find a blender for it. So the co-packer. And then, yeah, we launched. But I mean, it took a long time. You know, we had to order the jars. It took a while. It always takes longer than you think it's going to take, but it's like, it's a great experience. So like, that I would say, like, you know, just summing all of that up, like, try and launch a product that solves an itch that you have.
Yeah.
That's like the biggest thing.
If I could double down on that too, in terms of like specifically, like, not even so much on the product standpoint, because I'll be honest, I'm pretty bad when it comes to like product stuff, but like more on the marketing front. when you are launching this kind of stuff, I think two things that work really, really well is A, tease it out, like really aggressively. Yep. I don't know if you ended up taking this advice that I told you. I was like,
we did that through the noon recharge, which was like the tease, but you're right. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
For texts?
We don't have Attentive, so we can't drive it to a landing page for text, but we, over the past like 6 months, we've had like tens of thousands of people sign up for our SMS. So yeah, like that, the tease within that is incredible advice.
Yeah, I was gonna say the tease works really well. Like, and this is gonna sound so dumb, but like, all right, it's for Memorial Day weekend this year. Like, you can send out a message on Wednesday or Thursday before the weekend even starts. It says, hey, heads up, you know, don't buy anything today. Our Memorial Day weekend sale starts this weekend. I just wanted to give you a heads up. Like, that alone still drives sales, even if you're like, the sale starts later. Like, the people are gonna buy it today. But when you do that, what I've noticed before is like the sale hits way harder, which is awesome. And it's the same thing with like the product launch stuff. Like, one of the things we've tried before is like saying, hey, listen, when you go to this page, and we just set up like a quick landing page in Attentive usually, and we'll say like, or either Attentive or Klaviyo or wherever we want to do it at. And we'll say, when you sign up for text here, we only send this to people who don't have their number for. When you sign up for text, I want to let you know text subscribers are getting access to the product 1 day earlier. And it kind of just like cross pollinates those lists a little bit better. So I think that's a really good, like, kind of a tactic. The other tactical thing from a marketing standpoint is, as you're thinking about product launches, and this is actually something I'm trying to think if the guest was on our podcast before that, like, brought it up. Somebody brought up that like they launched 5 or 6 products at once before. And the person, I think it was Krista Lewis. She basically said that like, when she did it, she wishes that she had actually just launched them like every other month instead, because I think product launches create something really interesting where it's like a marketable moment. And so it's like something, it's like a reason or an excuse to reach out to customers in a way that feels more organic, as opposed to it being like, it's Earth Day. Like, I'm sure you probably want to drink tea on Earth Day. Like, here's 15% off your tea. Like, that's what most marketers are doing today. And that's why I feel like a lot of marketers tend to be like on the lazier side. They're like, insert random holiday here. Fantastic. Here's a discount code. When in reality, you could be like, oh, it's July. Like, great. We just launched this like seasonal 4th of July kind of like line or something like that. I do think that there's a lot of ways to like think about marketable moments as like campaigns and launch products accordingly to like kind of drive sales that way.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think that like you're like Krista, who are, it sounds like a lot to launch 6 products at one time. Launching one product is hard. And I think that you're right. Like, spacing it out is really good for your audience, for your customer list, but also like, you just also have to like not torch your Klaviyo list. Like, yeah. That's like the big thing. It's like your Klaviyo list and your email list and SMS list, like that's so important. And you want to feel as if you're building a relationship with them. Like, people, like, I had a birthday campaign this past weekend for, it was like a sales promo, whatever. But like, we had a ton of customers that just responded saying like, happy birthday. Yeah. You know, like, I was like, I'm trying to sell you right now, like, buy the honey, but like, thank you. Yeah, we had a ton of people. Like, our customer support rep came in on Monday. She's like, hey, like, I have a lot of gorgeous tickets that are just like saying happy birthday to you, like, should I forward them? I'm like, yeah, sure. But like, that's like the beauty of having a like a one-to-one type of relationship with your audience. Like, they follow your brand, they support your brand, they refer, all of that. So you don't want to torture Klaviyo list with just like blanket campaigns. And like, we got 5 minutes because I have to run. Yep. After this, but I'm going to go through the like wasting money or like why DTC brands fail. Like, I mean, we're still so young, so I'm definitely not doing any victory laps. We can definitely fail. But I think that like what I've learned from like, you know, it's only been 9 months since we launched, but like, what I've learned within that is like, it's so easy to waste money. Oh my God. Like, it's so easy just to like torch money. And I think it's like through content, through agencies, all these different people that like come out of the woodworks to help you that like actually probably aren't the right person at the right time or the right agency at the right time. So I think that like, that is something where you have to really, really be careful with. You know, a lot of brands, they raise money pre-launch. They spend hundreds of thousands of dollars or even tens of thousands of dollars to launch. Or it's like PR agencies, branding agencies, on all these different types of stuff. And it gets really expensive once you're actually in the business post-launch. So like, don't run out of money before you launch type of thing. Sure that like you have an extra side income hustle as well as you're building the brand, because like you're, unless you want to take money out of the business, like we are just now paying ourselves. Like I'm about to run payroll in 2 days for the first time. Baby. It's like a big, big moment, but like, yeah, like I've been doing consulting on the side up until this point. So I think that like being very conservative with cash, especially now that we're entering into recession, like there's going to be a lot of brands that like go down, and like, you know, Noonbrew definitely can go down. But I think that like taking the conservative cash flow type of route, like we haven't raised any money. We always, every single time we do another inventory buy, we're always asking our suppliers to like shave even like a few cents off of each like spoon or each frother or whatever it might be. Like, hey, give us better payment terms. We're you know, buying 10 times the amount. Why are we getting the same payment terms? Why are we not getting any volume discounts? Like, we'll like find other suppliers and be like, hey, like these guys gave us a quote for, you know, 30 cents less. Like, why can't you match them? And like all those like small little things really, really add up. So that is something that like, you know, I have no idea what the future of Noonbrew holds. Like, hopefully it's bright, but like the thing that I see as like a way that we could go out of business is just like very poor cash flow management. And that's something that I'm always working on and trying to take into account and trying to get better at. What was the third one that you're talking about?
Subscription versus non-subscription.
Subscription versus non-subscription. I'm all in on subscription. It definitely increases the amount of customer service tickets that you have each day. So you have to account for that. But like, you know, there's nothing like seeing those, like you saw our dashboard the other day, like nothing like seeing those recharge orders come in at 12:30 and you're like,
oh yeah, great. That's gonna be the best way to start the day. Everyone's talking about, you know, starting the day with a coffee or like your Noonbrew, whatever it is, like starting the day with that many Shopify sales just on subscription revenue alone, like that's the way to get out of bed in the morning.
Yeah, no, that's definitely, I mean, it's something where you need to have a product that people want to subscribe to, or that like, you know, like for something that's a consumable like Noonbrew, you know, not everybody loves it, and that's totally fine. And like, we do have people that churn, everything of that sort. But we do have people that like, once they're on subscription, like they stay on subscription, and those are the best customers. They align with your brand. If they have an extra package, you know, like sometimes they'll just like give it out to, you know, friend or family. And that is like, I think subscription is the way to go. And it also makes your company more valuable. You know, when you do want to go raise funding, or you do want to get acquired in the future, it's like, hey, like I have, you know, X amount of subscribers that like you can basically count on. And like, if I turn off my ads for one day, I'm not going to like have a put up a donut. Like, I'll be able to at least have that subscription revenue and be profitable.
Totally. It's that reoccurring element, which is nice. Andrew, I know you got to go in just a sec. I think one thing that I'm realizing we maybe didn't do at the beginning of the episode, because we kind of just jumped right into a bunch of stuff right off the bat, that I think might make for like a good sound clip, and we can kind of like, you know, put it in the beginning of the episode too, is Gio and I have gotten much more intentional about like kind of vetting guests and stuff like that over the past 80 or so episodes, to like make sure that like, you know, the people who are bringing on and like saying like they're making a ton of sales and growing their businesses like are legit. And you and I have known each other for a bit, so I obviously know that's the case for you. But is there like a metric, and it doesn't have to be sales or anything like that, that you can necessarily go and like kind of point to in terms of like how big Noonbrew is today, or like how big y'all are growing or something like that?
Let me think. Like, we have done, tens of thousands of orders, I would say. So within 9 months.
That is it, kind of exactly what I'm looking for. Cause I think a lot of people will jump on and be like, all right, cool, like he's selling honey and tea, but like, is he selling a lot of it? And I think that's, and like, I can fully attest, like at coffee, like we were chatting about sales and I've seen the numbers and stuff. So like, I know it's legit. I just think people look kind of like that validation too. Dude, I'm really excited to see what's next for you. I know we're catching up on Thursday too. So we'll save some other details for then.
Dinner. Yes. Yeah, man. Dinner's gonna be great.
if people want to check you out, check out Noon Brew, where can they go and find y'all?
Noonbrew.co.
Boom. Easy.
Thanks, man. Talk to you soon.
If you thought today's episode was awesome, we would love it if you would leave a 5-star review on the podcast, either on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It makes a huge difference and lets us get cooler and cooler guests for future episodes.